Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is in the building. The official foursome is in full effect. Denise Tapscott joining us from Cali, along with Mark Abbott from the Nebula, Kirk Johnson doing the marketing, and myself, Stephen Van Patten.
With all the right. Wings of death behind you there.
I love it.
It feels really scarily apropos.
I think I'm gonna rock with this. A few more episodes, actually.
You better watch out. Hellboy probably looking for you.
But I don't know him, money. So we have, speaking of shenanigans, we have a lot going on in this country right now. As far as this whole new way we're going to handle COVID, starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact, you will be able to go into restaurants and other somewhat crowded places without having to show any proof of vaccination. Now, of course, anti-vaxxers are going to kind of play this up to be a big victory. Oh, it was a hoax. Oh, it was this. Oh, it was that. There's like several cemeteries full of people who would disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger thing about it is for me at least, and I want to throw it to Mark first, because, you know, Mark works in a school. Okay. So I don't know if he's worried for himself, but I'm worried for him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just going to throw it to Mark first because, you know, Eric Adams, who, you know, as I think I said last week, Eric Adams, who should have, I don't know, taken advantage of the fact that everybody hated de Blasio, regardless of political affiliation, and should probably kind of like played with that somehow. And he has failed to do that. So, Mark, how did the news strike you? I know the governor was kind of, you know, pushing things, and now he's pushing. So, I mean, how are you feeling?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of concern. Mm-hmm. The conversation has come up because it hasn't come up yet as to what happens with all the people, all the city workers. Mm-hmm. Who have been either fired or leave without pay for refusal to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I'm no lawyer. I don't know exactly how this will transition, but I see a lot of lawsuits on the front. We are a city. I don't care what the rent says. We don't have that kind of money to pay out hundreds of thousands of city employees who are rightfully going to sue because they want, what, 5-6 months of back pay?
Oof.
To get their jobs back and want their pay retroactive. I mean, I don't know how that will play out because I don't know if there is somewhere in there because it was not this administration that, you know, Eric Adams might feel like, oh, well, it, you know, they can't sue us because that had nothing to do with me. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, if that's what he's thinking. I think the idea, I don't have a problem with the fact that you now are saying to people, once you come into the business, you can just take your mask off. Or if you're at the door, you know what, you don't have to wear the mask when you come through the door. But this idea of telling people now, no proof of vaccination is needed. Mm-hmm. It's akin to being on a group project and one person doesn't do the work and yet they get the A. While everybody else did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it might sound juvenile, but it's not fair. You know, I'm not mad that I took the vaccine and did exactly what I was supposed to do. Right. But what signal do you send? So here's my question. Let's say, because I don't know how he's going to parlay, you can go into any business without proof of vaccination except your job. I don't know how you're going to parlay that and explain that one. But what happens, for example, somebody comes back to your job, and these are people you know are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. This is not like somebody who didn't give that. You know who at your job was not vaccinated because it got out. The person comes back. Now, let's just say every time they step into my office, I put a mask on. And I start telling my boss, I don't feel comfortable with this person within 6 feet of space of me because they might be patient zero for some wild strain that will could effectively not be affected by the vaccine I took.
Because they
haven't been in my presence long. Yeah. You know, they've been around their family and stuff like that probably before. But what happens if because that's going to start a new trend of people saying, oh, now I'm feeling ostracized at work because my coworkers don't want to be around me because I haven't been vaccinated. But what should we not? Would we be in the wrong for doing that? What kind of culture does that, what kind of culture are you creating when you do that? And then on top of that, what about families in schools whose children have, because, you know, tomorrow the children will now be allowed an option to wear a mask in the buildings. They're saying, you know, most pre-K classes are like, no, because the children can't be vaccinated under five.
Right.
But the older students can. So, I mean, I don't have control over when my daughter goes to school. Mm-hmm. I don't have control over whether or not she takes that mask off because I'm not there.
Right.
I can just tell her, make sure you wear your mask. Is that the other thing? But, you know, children see other children not wearing it and they feel, and it's okay. But what happens to the teacher that comes back that wasn't vaccinated in the first place and wants to now go into a classroom? What happens when the parents have an uproar over that? What happens, you know, if they say, well, look, why is this being allowed? I mean, I don't know how the mayor sat down and came up with this. I don't know what team he put together to come up with the numbers that he thought.
Oh, the Knicks. I think it's called the Knicks.
The Knicks and the Islanders. Yeah.
Losers.
I mean,
well, it's a legacy of mismanagement, if that's the case.
And it's just disheartening because we have worked so hard to get to this point.
Yeah.
And we are clearly not completely free of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, yes, we want to get, and that's the thing. What do you mean by get back to normal? What do you mean?
That's a great question.
Do you mean you need us all to get back into the office to make the same wages that you were giving us before?
Right.
The same high rent that we've been paying? Right. The same homeless problem that we have that you've ignored for long periods of time.
Right.
The problem in the prisons. I mean, what part of normal are you talking about? Because you're not talking about effective change. You're talking about, let's just go back to what we were doing before.
Right.
And what is that like? That looks completely different now. You have a very, very, very visible broken educational system.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge salary disparity between private corporations and people who work for the city. And what's crazy is that almost anyone who works for the city will tell you every time you want a raise or promotion, there's a freeze. We don't have this this department doesn't have enough money to do that. We don't have enough money to give you this. We can't give you this kind of vacation time. We can't do this. Mm-hmm. But you want us to go back to normal.
Right. No cost of living increase. Just back to normal.
And in the interim, allowing a team of people who have walked around calling what has happened over the last 2 years a hoax, now, as you said, Stephen, running a victory lap, thinking that, you know, we have persevered and we have won this battle. Because God forbid, if there is somebody out there that is patient zero, what are you going to do when or if a death toll starts to happen? What are you going to say? We're sorry, or we're going to close the city down, or we're going to try? It's going to be too late for that. And I really think that policy needs to stay in place. It needs to stay in place till at least we get past the summer.
Yeah.
And then once we come back and kids are back in school and everything, September, then you can say, okay, you don't have to show ID. Because now what happens to we have a large visitors to this city.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like Mark, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Chief Brody, are you out of your mind?
Chief Brody.
You know what it means to close down the city during the summer? You know how much money this city takes in during the summer?
All that.
Are you mad? Look, you go and you get that virus. I don't care how you do it. I don't care when you do it. No, I do care when you do it. I don't care how you do it. I don't care who you need to do it. Just do it.
I don't know about you, but I've seen that virus up close. And somebody better be prepared to do something about this one, because I don't plan to go through that hell again.
I'm sorry, Mark.
But nicely done, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for encapsulating every fucked up politician in every horror movie that decided not to listen to the motherfucker that had, like, you know what? We shouldn't be doing this right now. That is why there is a problem with people not trusting politicians. Thank you very much, Mark. That literally is. I texted you guys before. I feel like Sisyphus. Yeah. And my back hurts. I'm good. I'm not, dude. Like, yeah. You're absolutely right. I don't know. I mean, one question I want to ask. What the hell ever happened to allowing businesses to make their own decisions about whether they can allow people in for who are vaccinated and not, and who aren't? Remember that one?
I do remember that one. And I want to circle back to Denise and her industry.
I'm sorry.
Situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you and I, of course, are like, it was mandated. Like, if you motherfuckers are coming back to work, you're getting vaccinated. You're going to you're going to furnish us with the proof that you got vaccinated. Like, it wasn't even like coming and showing the card. You had to get online. I don't know if people outside of TV know this. You would have, in order to work, and I work in all three major studios in New York. And in each case, I had to fill out a form online with all my little, so now I gotta go dig the fucking thing up, read all these little letters, tap that shit in, on and on and on. And the whole round of COVID testing. Like, I think outside of television would be very surprised to know how many times Kirk and I have been tested.
Wow.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm in the hundreds.
Wow.
If my nose was a woman, I would have like a tribe of children right about now.
Tribe of children. You're stupid.
That's how many times my nose has been poked. <It's> like,
bad girl. Talking about Rick, the sad Rick, girl. Right?
Rick James be singing songs to my nose right about now, going, "You're a very kinky girl."
Amazing.
Right.
Oh my stalkers.
So, yeah, we've gone through quite a bit, and so it was funny. It was the quickest staff meeting I'd ever been a part of. I was at the View a couple of Fridays ago, and they just kind of gathered very quickly everybody that worked on the show onto the studio floor, just so one person could walk out on stage and say, "Well, we know the city is relaxing mandates and everything, but you still all need to wear a mask when you're working here." Okay, that's it. Great. Have a great show. That was the meeting. And it was the shortest production meeting anybody that ever, we were so stuck on stupid, we kind of just like kept hanging out, talking to each other. We fucked up because we weren't socially distancing for fuck all. So right. it's like everybody is on some sky is falling shit, and we'll get to the Ukraine in a little bit. But Denise, yeah. How are things with you? And you're on the other side of the country, but we unfortunately we still have the same president that's also kind of capitulating to this, and we'll get to that. But like, how's things with you? Seriously.
Well, we still have to wear our masks at work because we are federally mandated, run federal property. So until the entire United States has the whole thing removed, then we're still wearing masks, at least till mid-March is what we were told. Okay. But because we're around so many people, I'm still going to wear a mask. I am. Right. What is disheartening, which is what Mark touched on, is that in the beginning, first there was incentive to get the vaccine and you got little extra things here and there. Mm-hmm. And then it was like strongly suggested that you get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then at one point you had to get the vaccine or you're going to not be able to work, no pay, period.
Exactly.
And suddenly, oh, now everywhere you go, you don't have to be vaccinated. You don't have the proof of that. I knew people that I worked with that did not want to get vaccinated. They really didn't, but they needed the job and they needed the job so badly that they're like, okay, I'll get this against my will. Mm. And now we're like, oh, sorry. we're good for a couple of months now. So everything's back to normal. I don't think so. I really don't.
It's, you know what? And what's the thing about it, to me, at least, you know, just getting back to the whole anti-vaxxer movement. Mm-hmm. If this isn't a victory for them, this is a victory for capitalism.
That's what I think.
They're gonna twist that narrative because, you know, that's what that side of the fence is very good at. They're at twisting narratives. But no, this is happening because taxes aren't being paid. Mm-hmm. This is because you know, brick and mortar actually creates a certain amount of income. So getting to what, you know, I'll get off New York's local idiocy for a minute and I'll move to President Biden, who apparently is pushing for everybody to get back in the office. Now, I feel like all four of us really didn't have much of a choice. Like, I don't and it gets back to the whole thing of the racial disparity of how COVID was handled, because hey, so people of color tend to have jobs that you can't do remotely because you know,
we're essential workers.
Because even though affirmative action is supposed to be taking such good care of us that the middle of the country has to be mad that there's a Black lady about to be on the Supreme Court, and that's a diversity pick, even though she's like graduated
magna cum laude from Harvard.
Harvard. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Roll with the big boys.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's a diversity pick. But anyway, I'm circulating here. So President Biden wants everybody back in our shitty cubicles in you know, and mind you, that's not really my life, but it is the life of a lot of people who have now you know, managed to do their jobs perfectly fine from the safety of their homes.
Yeah.
Vaccinated or not.
Yeah.
And I think, first of all, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm actually going to call that government overreach.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a little crazy coming from someone as progressive as I claim to be most days, but I'm sorry. Hold up. If this person is doing the job just fine, and as a business owner, I can actually save on how much square footage I need to run my business.
Right.
And you want me to pay my taxes, you want me to do all this other stuff. I'm sorry. Don't you have other shit to do? It's like, you've got a whole ass war.
Right. People can't even afford to drive to work right now with gas prices going up.
And that's the other thing. And if really, if we want to do anything, we want to start, I don't know, maybe fucking starting moving even more towards solar energy, which people have been pushing for in this country for years, only be told, oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. All right, well, then let's start making more trains in, you know, like more train systems in more states. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, that's too expensive. You know, and it's like everybody's got all these fucking excuses, but no one wants to address this, because at the end of the day, this oil thing, this whole dependence on oil, that still finances all the wrong people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why we're stuck in this. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding, and correct me, Denise, if I'm wrong, there is a bit of a subway system in California. It's just not finished.
It's not finished.
Am I wrong in that no one's even trying to finish it?
I think they're trying slowly.
On holidays? Yeah. They're only working on holidays.
They work late at night. I see them sometimes when I'm going to the Muggle job or coming back. But right now, it doesn't really go anywhere I want to go.
LA.
Yeah. LA. I mean, you can take the train to the beach. You can take it to downtown LA, which is pretty cool. But because I'm still not really being that social with the humans, I'm not taking the train. I'm gonna either get in my car or I'm staying my ass home.
It's fucking Saxons.
Yes. And then there's I guess Governor Newsom has this plan that he wants, like, within the next 10 years for all the vehicles in California to be electric vehicles. So we're not dependent on gas, which is great. Are you gonna pay for my house to have the plug for the electrical?
Right. How's the infrastructure working with that?
Right. And can I afford an electric car right now? No, not in my budget.
And if the automobile, if the auto dealers and the oil companies have a say, you'll never be able to afford that shit.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. I got paranoid when I started seeing city bikes, because I was like, what are they getting ready to do so that we can't afford cars anymore?
The city bike thing is a joke to me, because it what it was designed to do is deter people from driving.
Right.
Americans? Here's the funny thing. If you ever walk the city, look where they put them. They don't put them on the sidewalk where they belong, where there's room. They take parking spots on the street, and they take full corners and half a block.
Yes, they do.
So then what happens is that if you think about between the city bikes and these outdoor huts that went up for people to still eat outside or eat at restaurants.
To still make money during COVID.
There's nowhere for you. There's really nowhere to park. So I guess that's the... Well, we're deterring you from, because we want you to use the bikes. We want you to use mass transit.
Right. However, mass transit still don't know how to work right.
However,
right.
Mass transit on the surface, on the bus. Okay. Who's going down into Thunderdome? Because the underground world now is completely full of the folks that they let out of those, out of Bellevue, out of all of those places that then these people are mental illnesses. They have been attacking people left and right. And I remember somebody recently was like, oh, it's like we're going back to the 70s. I'm like, first of all, you don't know what the 70s was like in New York City. It wasn't a homeless problem down there. Straight was the Warriors and everybody gangs and everything else. That was a whole totally different situation.
That was defunding school programs.
So
that's what it was. The 70s was defunding school programs.
Right.
So henceforth, children coming out of school have nowhere to hang out and go, so they have to do that shit themselves.
Couldn't even take a bus, yeah.
Yeah, And then again, also because of the, you know, there was, what else going on? It was right before Reagan and his voodoo economics, which is probably already in motion during the 70s. Mm-hmm. Oh, that idea of voodoo economics, right? And then I remember hearing a while back, I'm still trying to find this book, but they were talking about the brain drain of government, of government institutions. Mm-hmm. And they would say, when they meant brain drain, they were talking about how the government at a point had allowed private organizations, private companies to compete with them, with the government, in terms of hiring a smart college educated personnel. So you're competing with companies that don't have the overhead that you have as a government and able to actually hire the better trained lawyers, the better R&Ds, you know, the scientists. All those people are going to someplace else instead of working for the city or for federal government. So you have this thing where they start little by little, as the Republicans like to say, smaller government. And when they say smaller government, they, you know, the federal government and the city government. And I can't help but think that that shit just started because Black and Latino folk were actually getting their civil rights together.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how that shit started. We ain't talking about that shit in the '50s. In the '50s and forties, we wasn't talking about that shit.
Right.
A smaller government, but all of a sudden now, shit, they had Teddy Roosevelt was the one who was fucking cracking down on monopolies. And they love that motherfucker. So you know what changed in the '60s and seventies? Niggas is getting jobs.
And down there with picket signs?
Yeah.
With jobs. Yeah,
jobs.
They were hiring that day.
Right.
Because remember, we weren't mad anymore.
Because I think Mark mentioned it a couple of times, and you did as well, Steve, about the time when, Black families, you know, you want to get out of poverty, you want to, you know, get a foot in the middle class, you got a city job, you got a federal job.
Right, right.
You worked in the mail offices, you worked for the government, you know, whatever. But that was that leg up to get to the middle class.
And those jobs are hard to get, yeah.
Right, and now all of a sudden, those jobs are harder to get because the federal government got no money.
Right. Actually, those jobs, are easy to get because they don't pay.
Because they don't pay now, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they don't pay.
You know, now what happens is that you have somebody who's worked in a position, and it's amazing because what they do now is, let's say Kirk was the postmaster general of a post office in Bedford Stuy, and I was working my way up, and Kirk retires. You know what they tell me? Well, we're not replacing Kirk's job anymore.
Oof.
We're not going to move anybody into that. Right. We're dissolving that job. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, you have the highest paying job in the office, and we're going to trickle Kirk's work into your lap, but we're not going to pay you Kirk's salary because we can't afford to do that.
Right.
And so now you're stuck making the same salary for God knows how many years because with more work.
Right. And then somebody new like me comes along, they're going to pay me a little bit more than what you did when you first started.
There you go.
Defunding the federal government.
I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah. And heck, Denise, you might surpass me. You might be like, they might be like, you know, we're going to take Denise and we're going to put her over. We got this new position called the Executive Postmaster General. And we're going to make Denise that. And Mark, you will report to her and help her out. Wait,
what? Right. And I'll get a signing bonus if I stay for 6 months.
Right.
Because we're seniors.
Because your daddy's part of the talented 10.
The talented 10.
Shit.
I don't know.
Ouch.
The enlightened 8? I don't know. I don't know how that shit works.
More like the sinister 7 is like.
Yeah. Sinister 7. Yeah.
There you go.
Nigga 9.
My stars. Sinister 7.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And
I'm glad I'm off Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
So it was Twitter.
you believe what this nigga said on the podcast? I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. Retweet. I'm sorry, Steve. You were saying.
<You're right. laughs> I even lost my train of thought. No. What I also kind of wanted to jump into, just in terms of the whole. So when we ended last week's podcast, we were actually more or less praising, cheering the Ukraine on and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then come to find out that we probably shouldn't have done that because they're not evacuating the African students, or at least right. They weren't. And anyone black. Now, first of all, what is even, what, like, where is the decency in that? Like, do you think Russian soldiers are going to go jump into a place and they're going to see African students and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, not them. Leave them alone.
Right.
Oh,
right.
No, not them.
No. Right. No,
sorry,
they're cool. You can barely walk through Coney Island in Brooklyn.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, you know, every Russian, you know, has an issue with black people, or I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying you don't really need to be in a position to find out if you don't have to be.
Right.
And you should be. And it's like, what? Like, I just don't understand it. It's like,
right. And to add on, you know, African students ain't the only students right. in the Ukraine. I mean, right. you know, there's British, there's French, right. motherfuckers from America.
Right.
So it's not like, are you guys being, you know, you're being hyperbolic. No, motherfucker. They are not letting the black students on the train.
Yeah.
There's that dude I went to class with. I took math class with that motherfucker. And he right there from Germany. Mm. And they letting him on the train.
Right. Sat right next to him.
Right. I'm in the same class with that motherfucker. Why is he going on the train and I can't?
Yeah. No. You know, I
right.
I was, and I hate to say it, but it was one of those things where I wasn't even surprised. I was just upset. I was just like, hey, here we mm-hmm. fucking go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, here we are about to join hands and saying we are the world for the sake right. of Ukraine.
Right.
And I'm not, right. I have to preface, I am not minimalizing what, you know, Putin is doing, because it's a horrible right. fucking thing.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
And he's, you know, a piece of shit, you know, and the yeah. whole nine.
Yeah.
And it, but how the fuck do you justify any of this in terms of the visiting students? It's, I mean, again, I think the other really heinous part about it is then you have these
correspondents.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, with their remarks about how, well, you know, this isn't like Beirut or right. something like that.
Or Syria.
It's like, yeah. These Europeans are not used to this kind
it's
of.
Like, it's like they don't even understand right. how fucked up what they're saying.
Right, right.
You know, like it was literally, I can't believe this is happening to white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Trevor Noah did yeah. a whole thing on that too, and he was yeah. so like on point. Yeah, they're not from like in Africa or the Middle East where this happens. Right. It's not like the Sudan. Like, what are right. you talking about? And then he mentioned the fact that more European countries actually went to war and did this kind of stuff, like way, way back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. the Crusades and all that. So
yeah,
Oh, yeah. How about that?
I remember one white woman, she was a foreign correspondent, who actually said, these little children with blonde hair and blue eyes are suffering. And like, wait, you actually did that?
Said that out loud?
Said that shit out. Right, right. All right.
On the inside voice? Yeah.
On a camera?
Yeah. For the world to see?
Right. And I think she was French, either French or Ukrainian. Yeah, man. I'm sorry, Steve. Yeah, you're saying.
No. That was basically what I wanted to cover. I was
thoroughly disgusted, actually.
Yeah, and I'd say that's, I think, all four of us probably feeling more or less the same way behind that.
Right.
You know, and it's like, this, there's no telling how this plays out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think last I heard 50 people died today alone.
Oh, no.
And that, you know, and it's horrible. But also rather distressing news. Mm-hmm. A young lady by the name of Brittany Griner, I think I'm saying that right, mm-hmm. Plays for the Mercury. It's a team in the WNBA. And so first, let me back up with why she's probably overseas in the first place. She's probably overseas because even though she is playing in a professional sports league, mm-hmm. she probably has to subsidize her income playing right. in Europe.
Yeah.
Right.
I you know, and unfortunately, the coverage of this has been so shitty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. Yeah.
That I can't verify that theory, but that's my theory because that mm-hmm. kind of shit's been going on no. since the Negro Leagues.
No, no, you're right. Actually,
you know, that's, Satchel Paige yeah. and the rest of those cats mm-hmm. used to, even Jackie Robinson, all those cats used to be out in Europe doing exhibition shows and doing all that other kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, real quick, Steve. They actually brought that up in Love and Basketball. Which Sanaa Lathan's character had to go away to mm-hmm. to Italy. She had to play for Italy
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. she wasn't. They weren't offering any a living wage or a substantial
wow.
career in America because it was all about the NBA.
Well, how mm-hmm. the WNBA?
She wanted to play.
Yeah,
she wanted to play basketball.
The dismissive yeah. way that league is treated in the first place.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. they are basically putting themselves in the same sort of physical jeopardy as anyone else playing any sort of, I mean, granted, football is a little rougher and hockey with its legalized, with its fighting, the only sport with fighting built into the sport.
Let them fight. Right. Yeah.
You right. know? And there's no, you know, you go in the penalty box, you know, Russell Westbrook throws a punch and he's got to like cough up like $10,000 or some shit.
Yeah.
A hockey player. And you see where I'm going with all that. Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
The WNBA, and it's funny because on the way, like walking down 57th Street in Manhattan, they started putting up these posters.
Yeah.
And it was the young, it was like various young ladies from various teams, all sexified.
Huh.
And I was like, that's interesting. It's interesting because you never saw Jordan have to get no. in a fucking Speedo
right.
and be displayed at the oil. Bus stop. Yeah. You never right. saw.
Except when he's actually advertising for Hanes underwear.
Yes. Well,
yeah, but that's right. different.
Yeah, right. That's no, totally exactly. Different. I'm just saying.
And he just checks in the mail for it. Right.
Exactly.
But the rest of these cats, okay? for you don't have to do this in order for people to actually maybe care about the league for 5 minutes while we're right. walking past a billboard right. or a bus is going by or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the girls look great. It was like, oh wow, who's that? I'm like, she plays for the WNBA, but shouldn't right. she like be in sneakers dunking or something? Like, what?
Right.
It was with the fucking penthouse ad. Like, yeah. I don't get this.
Hey, Steve,
unfortunately,
can I?
Sure.
Devil's advocate, man. Hey, we're getting back to normalcy, man.
No. No.
Normalcy with a little side of sexism.
Right. Right.
for those of you that are just listening to us, Mark did something very funny with the
it was very funny.
With the particular background. Yeah, he almost fell into the
He did a Twilight Zone. He did a Twilight Zone. Cheers to you, Mark, for that one.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. However, all right. So,
mm-mm. Yes.
Getting back to Miss Griner for a second.
Griner.
Yes.
She got picked up by Russian authorities
mm-hmm.
because she, I guess, had a vape. It sounded like she had a vape pen with a substance that was infused
in the cartridge. Sheesh. Yeah. The
cartridge.
Yeah.
Had hashish, right. which I guess is a big problem, you know, in on Russia. The books as far as Russia goes.
In Russia.
I don't know. I actually don't know where we are. I mean, I know we legalized marijuana here in New York,
right?
So white people can sell it
here in California too.
Right.
Yeah, you know, His brother, was a TCB. His brother's still in jail. And that's, you know, sad. Yeah, brother's still in jail, and now we have dispensaries and whatever, and the rigmarole in which someone of color actually gets a dispensary. Yeah, you might as well be interviewing to be an Avenger. So
or DC.
Or right. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Actually, that might be easier. But so we've got this whole like she gets picked up. And I don't even know how long. Like the article I saw was dated March 5th.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm not seeing enough. Granted, there's a full-on war going on.
Yes.
I'll give you that. But this is still an American citizen. This is still a professional athlete who represents a major city in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is very little talk about this. And honestly, I think there's very little talk because they don't want us to get too wound up. They don't want us to be like, hey, Biden, while you're busy not defunding the police and, you know, and not making sure we can vote and have civil rights and stuff. We got a sister that your pal has detained.
Right.
And
Kamala Harris is a lawyer. What is she doing? Instead of like melting into the background of a brown chair.
What is Kamala Harris celebrating the anniversary of Selma today? I think.
Well,
go get our sister back from Russia. How about that?
Right, right.
Go get her back.
Right, because I hate to say it, because if you know it was like a blonde, blue-eyed swimmer, they would be all over it. Or no, you know, I hate to even say it. Damn it.
There's an army of fucking motherfuckers in suits right now going, well, we got somebody in Russia. Yeah.
Right.
Is it Michael? Is it? The swimmer, that swimmer guy, Michael?
Right. Aquaman? But
No. It's an WNBA player. A W what?
Is that Curly? No.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's a black woman. Oh. Where's Kamala Harris? Is she around?
She's busy.
Right.
But there's no other black people to help out? Ugh.
I'm just saying it's. And.
No, you're right. I haven't heard anything about it except that one day you were telling.
Yeah.
On Friday.
And I'm really, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I'm really, really worried for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Because, and not even just the how they're treating her in the prison and the whole thing, because that's already suspect and that's already, you know, that's enough alone to like send you to bed in fucking tears. But what I'm really worried about is how she's going to be played. She's going to end up being played somehow as a pawn in all this, you know, and you can question her judgment, you know, because, again, I don't know what the laws are as far as hashish goes. I know I know certain countries I heard you get caught and they do all that, like all kinds of shit could end up happening to you, including death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we know so little about it. Mm-hmm. We know so little about it. It could literally be a situation where, you know, she was there before the fighting broke out, trying to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say she actually fucking left the vape in the hotel room where she was staying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so far-fetched for her to think that, you know, KGB, the secret police, went into her place, looked through her stuff, and it stopped at the border saying she's carrying.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been clean.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't know because the media, as shitty as it is in America, is shitty over there.
Oh yeah, right? way worse.
Yes.
Right. So at this point, she could have been a total, like, she could have did the smart thing. She could have been like, I'm leaving this shit here because I ain't, you know, they gonna let me on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. She probably didn't bring that shit in. She could have bought that shit in Russia someplace.
Yeah. Exactly. Because, okay, full disclosure, I've only had hashish once. And it was courtesy of Russian people.
Oh, wow.
That I was hanging out with one night. Here, try this. And then after that, I pretty much begged them to put me in a cab because I was pretty much done for the night. But yeah, I to your point, Kirk, because again, we're kind of spitballing and theorizing how this all unfortunate bit of business came to be. And it's, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, this is kind of one of my problems with there being a Black James Bond. Because, and you know what? Because maneuvering around in Russia when you are of darker complexion.
Right.
Right.
Forget the fact that you might be like, how tall is this girl? Like 6'9" or some shit.
Right. So you're not conspicuous.
You're not. You're not at all.
A spy, you can't hide. Yeah.
But you're not wait, at all. All right. Let me play that guy for this. Neither is James Bond. James Bond was never conspicuous. Every time he walked into the spot, motherfuckers knew who he was.
And somehow he still managed to survive, steal the documents, get the girl, get several girls in some instances. And he was basically just do his thing. Right, exactly. Right. He'd sit down at the poker table. Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond. Right.
Yeah,
but I think it does say something about white privilege that, you know, he can go to Jamaica, not have to blend in.
Right.
Even little bit.
He can go to Haiti and not have to blend in.
the only rebuttal I have for that they made Felix Black. Felix Leiter walked right into Monte Carlo and started playing. And there was a big brother sitting at the table with him too.
Mark, you gotta you being kind, man. That was like Tantor brother right there. That was Tantor right there.
I completely understand what Steve. I understand his point. Sure. It's not that I don't understand it, but I'm like, you know, I'm just, you know, to play devil's advocate real quick.
Right. I was thinking the same thing.
They sent the American brother.
The American into the fire.
Right. You know, to be clear, all right, he could not do any snooping around or detective work.
Yeah, I know that.
In local areas.
Right.
Like he can't go to a village. He could not go to the village in the Ukraine, a little farming village, to check out about, I heard that so-and-so used to be here. He can't do that because they're like, huh. he can maybe do that and say, I'm a student. They wouldn't let me out the country.
They're still not going to buy it. Oh my God.
I'm a student and they wouldn't let me out the country. I'm
American and I'm lost. That's the only thing he could do. Here's my passport. Have a little translator. Como te vu?
I am Abdullah Baraka, and I'm new to your country. I'm new to the country. I'm a student in the French, in the Parisian school, and I went to the countryside to see your
whatever
pigs.
You do, don't go to the train station because they're not letting your ass on. So.
Right.
I would almost say to Kirk's defense that he could pose as the help. But at some point, somebody gonna be like, you know, I was in Egypt last week, and that cat was working the party there. And then the week before, I was in Ireland, and that cat was working the same party over there. And something went wrong. I don't know about the rest of y'all in this room, but I would keep my eye on the guy serving champagne, right?
Somebody's gonna say, wait a minute, Yugoslav, are you saying you can tell these people apart?
That's what's gonna happen.
Hold on. Yes.
Back to the vortex he goes.
Get out! Get out!
Man. Yeah, it's a burden to be this cynical. It is. But
I feel so alone. That's the only. That's I think cynics are the only ones left. We started woke and then the motherfuckers took it. So now we just start calling each other sinks.
Sinks?
So yeah, cynical as fuck. We're going down the drain. Alone, just like, well, you know, we're going to open up everything and I'll be back to normal. Oh, you mean back to normal like, oh, you mean back to normal like fucking people afraid to go back to shelters and homeless and fucked up A-train system and oh, corruption back in the government and Mark can't get a fucking raise and oh yeah, normal's great.
Normal.
Yeah.
That's called the sink. That is the sink.
But I mean, it's also being a realist because what happened last week? We had some crazy dude smear feces in a woman's face on the fucking subway, yo.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On what train? What line?
I don't remember the line. I don't know. But there was video footage of this in the whole nine. And I mean, and he like mushed her. I would be on the street if this was somebody in my family. I would be on the street right now. The cops would be like, all right, Steve, look, just go home. Like, no.
No.
Because I know y'all ain't doing shit.
Nope.
Man. When I come to see you guys, I'm not taking no damn train. I'm going to Uber here, Lyft there. I walk. I'm not taking no train.
Wait. What are you talking about? We're coming to see you. We ain't staying in this fucking state.
Okay. Yeah, come see me. My new house. I got space. Hell yeah. Some sun on your face.
At least all the homeless people you got are like fucking old hippies.
No, they're not. They're not. But they're all hanging at the beach because the weather's nice. So.
Good point. Yeah, true. Good
right.
point.
All right.
Sand. At least there's sand to bury their shit.
Yeah.
Motherfucker just wipe his ass with Daily News or the Post.
Oh my gosh.
Leave that shit on the train.
That is crazy. That is getting back to normal. Because that's exactly what I want to do. Like now I got to go in the train station, be cognizant because somebody might push me in front of a train. Ooh. Or, you know, or, and I mean, I give you a prime example on downtown Brooklyn. J Street stop on the F train.
Yeah.
Every morning when I go down into that station, there's at least 7 or 8 cops congregated at the bottom of the step. And within about 5-10 feet from them is someone who have given themselves over to whatever's in their mind. Mm. And they're walking around screaming at nobody. Okay. Or swinging and stuff. And these guys are just standing there. They're not stopping this person. They're not getting involved.
No social worker around.
I mean, you know, all of that to say it takes money to do all of that.
Yeah.
You know, when our president stood up the other night and talked about all this funding, this and everything, you know, you want to fund the police? I'll tell you what you fund. Fund something that will help them partner up with the mental illness doctors of this city.
Yeah.
Put two cops on a train and a mental illness specialist with them so that when these situations occur, there's somebody that can medically be there to help. You want to fund something? Yeah. Fund getting these guys psychiatric help when they're suffering from PTSD, which leads to a lot of these issues with the police and
drugs,
them not being able to function properly.
Yeah. And help them to afford their medicine
and afford their medicine and help them out. You want to fund something. You want to fund a program that will help the cops don't need more guns. Mm-hmm. What you need is more bodies. What you need is more people in the subway. You don't need one cop traveling the route of an entire train and then something's going on in the front car and he's all the way in the back and can't help.
Right.
Like you have an entire transit police system that could be reformed. Mm-hmm. But
real quick, you know what? This cat at work, we were talking and he has friends who are cops. So he said the classic line, Steve. He said, well, you know, everybody needs the cops when, you know, nobody wants the cops until they need them. I mean, what would you do, Kirk, if somebody like banged on your door and barged into your door with a gun? And I said, well, that nigga probably a cop. and he literally looked at me and said, man, I can't even talk to you. I was like, what? That's probably what it was. He was probably a cop, because if anybody doing that to me, that means I did something for that motherfucker to want to come banging my door with a gun.
But we've actually had that happen.
Yeah.
That has actually happened. This woman, and insult to injury on that situation. What did they give this woman? 2 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burst into a dude's house. He is sitting on a couch, eating ice cream, no criminal record, doing shit. And
yeah,
chilling at home.
And she was a cop. And,
dead.
And her excuse was, I thought it was my house. I still remember Eleanor Bumpers.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. The homeboy who was fucking on his boy's couch, just chilling, had a permit. Motherfuckers just busted in and ain't say they're cops.
Right.
Just and waking him up and startling him. Of course that's just gonna happen. And come on.
Man. I mean, I don't really know if that, I don't know, because we keep talking about better training, but I mean, what does better training look like? I mean, right. the thing is, unfortunately, mm-hmm. unlike your job, Denise, mm-hmm. your job, Kirk, and yours, and even mine, baptism by fire is not the way to learn as a cop.
No.
You cannot learn your job when
if airplane pilots are not allowed to do or are not allowed to trial by fire.
Like, I mean, who would you get on a plane if the guy was like, all right, so I know how to take off. Right. It's the landing thing I haven't been able to figure out.
But I completed all my hours.
Right. So
it's great in the simulator.
Like, well, we need to get him training. No, you need to get him out of the cockpit.
Yeah.
Is what you need to do. And if in fact, I mean, yes, there is room for error on every job.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't say in good faith that under duress as a cop, if you feel a certain, you're in that moment that you accidentally pull your gun and not your taser, because again, you are human.
Right.
Those kind of things will happen,
but like maybe not shoot to kill. Like maybe shoot the arms or the legs. But
that's
the thing.
The problem is that's how they train.
That would require a certain level of skill.
The training, is when they go to the gun range. The instructor does not say shoot at the leg,
right.
Shoot at the arm of the
target.
The target. What is it? Center mass. Headshot.
They always start center mass. Yeah. They always say
and
that,
yeah. it's not. Yes, if you thought about it, there's a guy coming at me with a bat. I got a gun. Shoot him in the knee. Yeah. That's it. Because he can't run at me if he can't run if his knee is out. But instead, what do? I've been trained to hit him in the chest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kill him, and then it's, well, we can't really fire the guy who's on the job. We'll let him ride the desk a few years, let him get his pension, and then he can go home. And yet somebody's son or daughter who had a mental illness problem or something is dead. And the other excuse is, well, we're not psychiatrists. then maybe what you need, just like the Vatican and every other place on this planet, maybe you need a division of police that handle mental illness, and that way when these guys get a call, you say, hey, we got a call of a domestic disturbance, send Mike with you, because Mike is trained to de-escalate these situations. Do that. But you know why we don't do it? Because it costs money, and it will take away from the arsenal we're building in the precinct rather than trying to go out and help the people of the city.
Man.
And on that cheerful note, that's our show. we've hit the end of our time here. But the good thing is, Denise will be back next week.
Yes, I will. Yes, and indeed.
She can, well, all right, Denise, real quick, what were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is a couple of years ago, I had jury duty and this man came in the room, this very large black man. And I was like, oh, Lord, where's the exit? How can I get out? And he said, I have a mental issue and I'm on lithium and I cannot afford my medicine. And so the voices in my head are going off. And I thought, oh, my Lord. And then this woman, this nice little petite woman, she has her business card and she says, sir, I can help you. She's a mental health care person. And she's like, let me talk to you. And they went outside and they handled whatever the situation was. So Mark is right. If the funding is in the right place, good things can come about. Yeah, because I thought, oh, here we go. I'm not dying. It's not my day. But the fact that like this woman stepped forward and she could handle the situation, we didn't have to call the police. There, nothing went off. Yeah. So there is good stuff that can happen. Absolutely.
Maybe, you know what? Actually, now you said it, maybe they should be like mental health professionals on the trains riding with the conductors.
It's true too.
And now you done spent like all kinds of Eric Adams' money.
Well, he ain't gonna fish that. His chop mouth anyway, so you know. he ain't gonna fix that disfigurement he got with his mouth. So you know, might as well just put it to a good use and shit, man. Come on.
Holy shit. And on that note, folks, we're gonna close out this particularly lovely episode of Beef Minor Shenanigans. As always, I would like to thank Kirk Johnson, Mark Abbott, and of course Denise Tapscott. Hopefully we'll get Mark out of the abyss. Hopefully Kirk will, I don't know, cheer up. Oh hey, and sure.
If you buy the books, Kirk. I might.
Oh, well, there the you books, go. I might. That's right. We got books, folks. Please buy them.
Please buy them.
Yeah. Mark's got a website. I've got a website. Mm-hmm. Denise, do you have a website?
I do. DeniseTapscott.com.
That's right. You certainly do. All right. Mm-hmm. So you know what? For laughs, maybe I'll add that to our when we post this. It can't hurt, right?
Can't hurt.
All right.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we didn't talk any nerd shit, so we're gonna make that up to you next time. Mm-hmm. We promise.
Yes.
And that's it. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you all very, very soon.